are quickly moving on to our teaching. And I will once again want to welcome you all. And today we're going to be kick-starting another teaching series. And I so much trust that God wants to have us pay attention to something important as a church. And so I was, trying to find out what exactly I should title the teaching today. We'll be looking at, let's talk about tongues. So, that means that the beginning of our conversation will, to the end, be centered around tongues and speaking in tongues. And this will so much bless you.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's going to be a conversation around tongues, I am not very certain we're going to have conversations around everything about tongues. But we're going to take it just a bit here and then a bit there, and then we are going to be fine. And I'm going to be giving, by the grace of God's Spirit, or we're going to be setting some premise, or what I call good ground for our conversation. So, even though our title is Let's Talk About Tongues, I'm sure we'll have two Sundays of not talking exactly about tongues before we get right on in into the subject. And I believe that this is going to do us a lot of good in that it's going to first help us understand. Because not many people really understand. Not many people understand. And it's also going to further strengthen our discipleships and evangelism experiences. Right? So, again, we're going to be having some conversations. We're going to be setting the ground for the real conversation. It's almost like when you do something wrong and then they call you and it's like they respect you. See, they don't just hit on the wrong suddenly. How are you? Have you eaten? Have you drunk? What are you doing? Then you know that, no, they're strong. It's setting good premise to actually fire. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And maybe next week, Sunday in the morning. For those of you who have been here, you will hear me continually say that what God is doing is encapsulated, can be broken down into short phrases. Number one, He wants to have all men saved. Write that down. He wants to have all men saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. How that God wants all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. Now, He doesn't only want all men saved. He wants them filled with His Spirit. He wants all men filled with His Spirit. He wants all men filled with the gospel. I mean, filled with his spirit. Then he wants all of these men growing up spiritually. So write that down. He wants all men saved. God's plan is to have every single individual in the whole world saved. Now, just not that alone. He wants all men who are saved full of his spirit. And growing spiritually. So what that means is that somebody was asking me, how do I know I'm in God's plan? And I told the person, just find out what he's doing and partner in it. You're already in his plan.
Glory!
So if he wants to have all men saved and he wants to have all men filled with his spirit and then growing up spiritually, right? How is he going to be doing that? Of course, he's going to be doing that by building strong local churches. Because the churches are the one that will facilitate the saving of men in the preaching of the gospel. They will have the men saved, have them full of his spirit, and then the churches will see to it that those men full of God's spirit are growing spiritually by the teaching of God's word. So all that God is doing can be encapsulated in these phrases I've given to you. He's not building franchises. He's not building millionaires. He's not doing that. He's doing something, and he's very specific about what he's doing. So it means that whenever we go around preaching the gospel and making sure that men are full of his spirit, we're already in his plan.
Glory!
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 We're already in his plan. So, he's doing this. Like I said, we're going to be setting some good ground for our actual conversation. And this is going to help us a lot. Because, you know, one of the ways where I know that a teaching is going to bless is that it blesses me first. Wow. Yeah. It has a way of just hitting my heart and I go along around. Maybe I just say, thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. So I find myself being blessed before, right, the teaching. So we are going to pay attention to this. And you know, many times, people think that, or the mistake of many believers is to believe, or this mistake of many is to believe that they can know God by their intelligence. And then further, there's definitely a mistake that people believe that the understanding of God's word or the scriptures are solely tied to a man's intellect. So, whenever we come to God, we come around like squaring our shoulders and then wondering, yes, preacher, tell us something that excites us or that stimulates our mental faculty. Right? Then some of you are going to be having PhDs not long from now.
Oh, yes.
But we try to assume that our PhD minds or like our CEO minds, elective math and physics smartness is what it takes to really understand God. Right? So, because you were chakra in school, you now sit down and you're like, what's this guy seeing over there?
Preaching.
What is he saying? So often we try to understand God with our mental faculties. For example, let's say he's a businessman and then he sees a pastor. Maybe I'm the pastor, and let's say he's a successful businessman, right? Sit down. No, you can stand. I actually agree to stand. So he's a successful businessman at the age of maybe like 40 years or 45 years. Very successful.
Wow. Amen. Yeah.
Then, no, you won't say amen to what is coming next. So don't be quick. So he comes in into the church. You can take your seat here. He comes in into the church. Then he looks at the pastor. Then he says, number one, the pastor is a young pastor, number one. Yeah. Then number two, he feels like because he has a lot of conglomerates, a lot of businesses, he now wants to advise the pastor that, you know, of certain principles in business that the pastor should employ. So, while there could be, you know, some logical sense to what is being said, right? He has to know that church is not run by business principles. It's not run by business principles. So he now calls the pastor and then he tells the pastor, "Pastor, you know what? I have seen that there is a principle of business. It seems to work. And pastor, the name of the business principle is maybe customer centricity." Then the pastor even doesn't know what customer centricity is. Now, a business principle is that the customer is always right. So everything that circulates or centers around business makes the customer right, esteems what the customer places, right? So he comes in and he says, you know, and that's why the church needs to adapt this principle. While the principle of customer centricity is not wrong, customer centricity does not run the church. I worked in a place where, real life story, I'm not even lying to you, somebody walks into a store and then the cashier is right on the desk and she calls the man daddy and the man slaps her hardly. Real life story. Not small slap, slap. I mean slap. And the response is that, "No, who is your father? And never call me daddy." Now, I mean, management, upon hearing all of these things, everybody's like, "Oh, Charlie." Some other people will say, "I swear to God, if it were to be me, this man. This part. So he now comes to say, the church member is always right. Right? So, as I think you should really consider the fact that this business principle works for business people. And so, the church should allow anything. We should allow you to do anything that you want to do. And that's how the church is going to grow. Right? So, he also says, even there's another principle that works. There's a principle of innovation, adaptability. So, you know, it means that we need to follow certain worldly trends. So, he says, it means that, you know, sometimes the church, the Bible is really old. When was the Bible written? Then the pastor says,
Jesus died 2,000 years ago, so before it was compiled, just a few hundreds of years ago. So no, there are current guidelines to handling people. So you see that he tries to pitch his business idea, right? He tries to pitch his business idea into how the church runs. But we all know very well that the church doesn't run by business principles. The church is a very spiritual organism. Doesn't run by what you think. Doesn't run by what you know. So, you find out that the pastor tries to advise him. You know, sir, with all due respect, just no, sir, but you don't understand. No, you do not understand. Right? So, like I said, we are still building, right? It doesn't run that way. Sometimes we are also tempted to think, okay, we need to be logical. You see, the way 2 times 2 is definitely 4. And 9 times 3 is, 27. It means that everything that runs logically, mathematically, also should run like that with his people. And sometimes we try to do that with his word as well. 2 times 2, it has to be 4. It's always 4. 1 plus 1 is always 2. No, where we are, 1 plus 1 is not always 2. 2 plus 2 is not 4 always. And it's not 4 according to your mathematical principles. God gives us the answer to 2 plus 2. So when we ask God, what is 2 plus 2? Then he says 2 plus 2 is minus 1. You say, okay, minus 1. Okay, minus 1. Then you meet somebody who said in math, and you say 2 plus 2 is minus 1. No, it doesn't make a lot. According to this principle and all of that, I think you are wrong. No, you are rather wrong. Because normally we try to understand God and his word and his dealings and his activities with our natural minds. But it doesn't happen like that. Right? Now, there are some other times we try to also be, you know, rational. Or we see ourselves like some inborn intelligent folks. Like I said, 2 PhDs, 2 masters at the age of 24.
Wow.
We are very sorry.
Very sorry.
We'll lie down for you. 2 masters. 2 PhDs. 3 degrees. And then they get up and they say, pastors, they don't do any work, they should wear a man work. You see? So you get to see that many times we try to be very rational. Try to use our inborn intelligence. Try to use our natural capacities to understand. No. And you see, for such people, it's very hard to know who God is and to understand him. Very difficult. Because he is not known and understood by your critical thinking. How many of us did critical thinking in school? Privateer. Talks very slowly. Like he sets questions for you. You'll be there. You will not know whether you are passing or you are failing. Your response is that in faith I passed. Hey. And he's a pastor. Please, I told you I'll not mention anybody's name. So,
look at you quietly like this.
Critical thinking. So, you would have this knowledge that, hey, that's how to know God. Right? But that's not how we know God. That's not how we know God. So, for such folks, It's very difficult to know who God is and to understand Him. You know why? Because they worship their intellect. Their mind is their God, and their God is their mind. So whatever it is their natural mind does not understand, they will not agree to. So their mind is their God, and their God is their mind. I'm sure some of you are parents like that, or some of you listening to me are like that. You look at things and it doesn't make sense. Logically, doesn't make sense. But you see, the conversation we are having is not about how intelligent you are, or how smart naturally you are, or how eloquent you sound. It has nothing to do with that. So these people assume that they are very brilliant. I'm saying these people because I'm hoping there's no one like that here.
Amen.
So they assume that they can be smart, right? They can apply logic in every case. And I was reading something that Kenneth Hagin wrote about him. And when Kenneth Hagin was 31 years old, he called his dad a tall, skinny man. I mean, some of you who saw Kenneth Hagin saw him after he was like heavy. He was very straight, skinny. Yes. So there's hope for everybody.
Oh, yes.
Including the person you are thinking there is hope for. So you see that? He said that every time he can remember when he was a child, he would go to bed with his father reading and praying on a lamp. He'll wake up in the middle of the night, still seeing his father on that lamp. He wakes up in the morning, still seeing his father sitting there praying while steady with books open all around, including the Bible. He goes back to school. I mean, he goes to school, comes back from school, and he still sees his father in that position. And he told a story, and he said, many ministers around the world wonder how that revelation knowledge came so much to him. Then he said, it was as a result of long study and prayer. So for those of you who are ministers, myself included, and that's always been my inspiration. So he attributed how his father was able to explain the scriptures to prayer much more and to the study of the word. So we're setting some good ground. We're looking at revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. You know, even if you have first class, see, your knowledge is very limited to what you can just observe and think through. Even if you had doctorates that nobody has, your observation is very limited. How many of you can tell me what's on my mind now? See, that means your knowledge is limited. It's very limited. Okay, can you tell me what's happening in the next room? Tell me. Say, Pastor, I think I can think what you are thinking. So sometimes we try to look at things quietly, according to the principle of this and that. It doesn't make sense. Then we look at Christians and we say, these are a bunch of fools. Say, you just get up and go to church and give your money to a pastor. You just give your money to a pastor. See, call it collection. So we see other people who do that, then we mock at them. So your knowledge is very limited, I'm telling you. Your knowledge is very limited. And this is almost like I'm speaking to the people who seem to be bright mentally or logically. You could not even score 60%. You teach the Bible, then you are arguing. I met one lady like that. It was about tongue speaking. Then she said that her mind does not agree to what I'm telling her through God's word that I'm showing her. Then I said, let me just ask her a few questions. So I said, what level are you? She said, oh, level 200. I said, did you get all A's last semester? Oh. She said, no. I'm sure she didn't get even all B's. Not sure, but maybe some C's and B's, actually. Because my mind is great. So I said, you know what? If you didn't get all A's in just 6 subjects, I was sorry to ask her whether she had an A, but I didn't want to ask. And I said, do you know that you don't really know anything like that? So that question I asked her struck her, that even the one they taught you and quizzed you on, you still get 48 and 46. The one they taught, they sat in class, the lecturer taught you, gave you notes, quizzed you, objectives, MCQs. Out of, what do you call it? Out of 60, you were swimming at 21 all over that side. Then, I will show you something that you don't know, prove it to you through the scriptures. Then you're saying that your mind does not really understand. So I tried it. You don't have a mind like that. You don't have a mind like that. If you think you have a mind, at least you should have scored. Then I can say, okay, you are 100, 100, 100. Let's take you serious. But if you couldn't even score, you don't really have a mind. Some of you are struggling in class, but when you teach the Bible, you're saying that, you know, man. Keep quiet over there. I've showed you verse by verse, explained to you, said no. So when I told her, she now became, it was like a lightning bolt. Then she now calmed down for me. Then I said, let's look at what God is saying, don't you think so? Because then I told her, because you and I, we can't trust our natural minds, you see. So at least let's trust what God is saying in His word. So sometimes we try to be very mental, logical. I think we should all just humble ourselves, don't you see? Or you don't think so? You don't think so? Do you think so? Like when they are preaching to you, just say, hey, let me just relax and listen. And open my heart and listen to what this person is saying. How many of you have learned something and then they give you a question to answer? And it's like the thing I learned is
discovery. You are discovering.
There seems to be a similarity. You learned it yesterday. But there seems to be like, you are not really sure whether what you learned is there's a similarity. That's when you see that, no. Let's trust God's spirit. Are you listening? So you see that we try to be logical, rational. We think everything mentally. And sometimes that's how we walk with God. Because everything is mental. Once we don't have money and God says that, I can give you money, you say, no, but I can't see money. There's no money here. And we believe that. So God says you are healed. Then you say that the pain is there. That's a sign of it. But that means I'm not really healed. God says you are healed. So you see that we try to analyze everything very naturally. That's where we miss it. So you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm pulling down some gods. Because it's a God. A God will be your intellect. A very key God today. via the internet. I heard one guy on radio. They call me one funny name. And I was listening to it. I felt like, this guy doesn't have sense at all. Let's continue. So, we're looking at revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is spiritual knowledge. Write that down. Revelation knowledge is spiritual knowledge. It's knowledge that is divine or revealed by God. Knowledge that is divine or revealed by God, rather than through human reasoning. These are also insights into God's word. Knowledge that is revealed by God directly, rather than through human reasoning. They're also insights. You know, and insights, you're able to see into something more deeply than it shows on the surface level. It's like you have sight that is in, right? You have sight that is in. So when we say, honor your parents, go to church, pray. Because there is no insight into all of these things, they look very natural. It looks like we're just worrying. But somebody is receiving revelation knowledge. Take your seat. Revelation knowledge. So we're still on. So this knowledge is revealed supernaturally. How am I able to know names? How am I able to know places? How am I able to know things about people? How am I able to look into God's word and take him by his word? How am I able to do that? How are you able to do that as well? Because you do that as well. So this is knowledge that is revealed supernaturally. It goes beyond intellectual understanding. It's revelation knowledge. Listen to me, it's not sense knowledge. It's not sense knowledge. It's not knowledge that is given to the senses. What you can see, what you can hear, how you feel about the whole thing. No, it's not that kind of a knowledge. That knowledge is limited. It's revelation knowledge. For example, maybe you read in Mark 16 that God has given you power to tread over every serpent and scorpion. Of course, those were figurative, meaning of the devil and his activities. Then you wake up and then you are afraid of something that he's doing. What is missing is an insight into what God's word has said that you should pay attention to. So we find our lives taunted by demons, worried by things that are wrong. You know, we're just there and it's like everything seems wrong. To an extent where we believe that all that we walk around, there's some demon that's doing this, and there's some spirit that's responsible for that. But what we lack is revelation knowledge. That's what we lack. Sometimes you see that there's this, probably you can probably sense a repetition happening in your family, what people call an ancestral curse. Say, oh, my daddy did this, my mommy, that. My auntie did this. Then it starts to come to your mind. It means that that's just going to be my life. This person had that. This person had this. No. So what you actually need is revelation knowledge. It's knowledge that gives you insight into what God's word has said about you. For some of us, You know, there are people that come around and it's like, they just say, oh, you're like this, you're like that, you did this the last time. And everybody seems to accuse or everybody seems to criticize. And sometimes the enemy catches us to the corner. You did this the last time. That's why you shouldn't serve God. A fornicator like you. How is it that you are able to do all of these things? And you are still moving around saying that you are serving God. Then it beats us in. Oh, yeah, there's pornography, masturbation. Don't go to church. Don't go to church. Church is not for pornography watchers like you. Then, amazingly, we start to believe what we have and what we hear and what we think God says about us. But what we lack is revelation knowledge into who He says we are. Despite anything that happens around us and that happens to us and that we find ourselves involved in. So, you know, as a man of God, that's why I tell you that nobody can make me feel guilty. I know who I am. I know who God is.
Who I am.
One time somebody came to my house and the person was trying to tell me, you are a difficult person. I said, shut up. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. God has made me leader over His people. You shut up. Don't talk like that. God has made me leader over His people. You are a difficult person. You are too strong. You are a strong leader. I said, no, keep quiet. God has made me leader over His people. So when you don't know who you are, when this insight and this knowledge is not available, it starts to beat you out. Times where, you know, it's like you fall in for a sin or you fall in for something. You know what somebody else told me? The person said, you have changed. I said, change to what?
He said,
you are now becoming a very tall person. I told the person, I said, would you keep quiet? No, you don't talk like that to me. Don't talk like that to me. God made me leader.
Yes.
And then I saw that the person began to be afraid. And you know what happened? The power of God hit the person there. And God's anointed.
Yes!
You are anointed. It doesn't matter what the enemy says about you. You say, I know who I am. You say, I'm the righteousness of God. You know, some of you are growing spiritually. Some of you are growing spiritually. Many of you are growing spiritually. And sometimes it looks like you are not growing. It looks like there's something that's happening. You don't seem to make any forward effort. Listen, it's the devil's speaking. You say, listen, there's a place of prayer. There's a place of prayer. But even when we don't pray, we know who we are. We'll step out confident. Oh, in what God has said. Listen to me, some of you are going to go back home. You will see things that look like occurrences in your home. You say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, out of this house.
Out of this house.
Because you know who you are.
I know who I am.
You know who you are.
I know who I am.
You know who you are.
I know who I am.
God has made you righteous in Him. He has made you holy in Him. He has separated you. He has put His call on you. It doesn't matter whatever happens. God calls you His own. I said, God calls you His own. Never again will the enemy be able to damage your mind. Pull you out of the church. Take you into companies that are wrong. Because you said, I'm born of God. I'm full of the Spirit of God. Feel something in God.
Lord.
So, you see that? What is missing is insight. It's insight. It's insight. It's insight. That's what we're looking at, revelation knowledge. You see, you can be sitting close to somebody, and the person hears something in a way. It was said to both of you, but probably you never heard. But the person heard it. That's why, you know, there was a man who walked around with Catherine Cormont, sharing experiences of how that At a point in time in one of the meetings, the person emphatically states, there was mist all over in the room. And do you know what somebody got up and said? He said, no, it's not true. I was in that service. No, no, you were in that service, you were not there. You were in that service, you were not there. You were in that service, you were not there. What you lack was insight. You couldn't see what was happening. There was mist all over in a cabin call service. We never saw anything like that. We never saw it. We were in those services. It's like someone watched me, the same thing in the service, and the person told me. I opened up my eyes and I couldn't see anyone. There was mist all over in this room. Someone shares it with me. She said, I did this, open again. I could see the mist all over. So the person said she turned to ask somebody if she saw what she could really see. I said, no, I don't really see it. This one whose eyes are open. It's not natural. It's not logical. So, it is revelation knowledge that makes this possible. Some of you have been hearing how that God so loves you, but that love has not occurred to you yet. What you have not had yet is insight. But it's changing. So when somebody gets up and says, I was overwhelmed by the love of God, you're wondering, what's so special? It's so special. What's so special about God so loved the world? That is so special. So why are you going around preaching? So because God died for me. Jesus died for me. So what's so special? What the person has is insight. There is something that is far beyond what is superficial. It goes in. Revelation knowledge. Knowledge that is not revealed using natural substance or natural elements. God himself inspires them. So you see that sometimes you're also, you know, sort of like right with God, and then somebody tells you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then every day you live in sin. You're not coming to that understanding. Because once you also come to that understanding, you see it and it disgusts you. Some of you see ladies and all that you see is something else other than what is standing in front of you. That one is revelation knowledge for the devil. You don't want that revelation. All that you see is something. Once you see it, you're confused. Oh, it's different. Come on. No, it's not good inside. It's not good inside. So you see that people are still living in sin. You know? No, I won't do this again. The next day they do it. They still have not come to know who they actually are. Once they know who they actually are, it becomes easy for them. You see people living in fear. You didn't put on the lights, and you put on the lights, and they are already shaking. They can't walk through the garden alone or some dark place. So, what I'm talking about is not just listening to some nice teaching. No, it's not just listening to some nice teaching. If not, there'll be no need for me to pray before coming into the service. Yes. I understand and I love the place of preparation in studying to prepare a sermon. But if you give me choose between always preparing to study and not praying and praying into the service, I will choose prayer. If you choose one day, I will always do, and I always do that. Yes. Sometimes I leave my preparation civil and I go and pray. It's because I know that it's not by might and it's not by eloquence. I've done that severally. I go into services and my time is short into the service. I either have to make notes or I just pray while probably making the notes, or I pray, I see that no, I just pray and I just clean. We're going to understand that and how that functions also. So you see that they hear of a nice sermon, they are excited. Boom. 2 days, the thing vanishes. So what happens is that because we are logical and we like to be intelligent and we like to be natural and we like to be, you know, sensual in our minds, we also in a way do not have that which we have in our minds dissipating into our hearts. So we know it in our heads. We are a chosen generation, yeah, call forth to show his excellence, yeah. But then it's like when something happens that you're supposed to produce that thing, it's like it's not there. So you have it in your head, but you don't have it in your heart. So you are still in church 3 years, you are still afraid of something. You still don't know who you are. You get tempted by things when you miss it. You accuse yourself so hardly and so firmly. You still live in sin. You do all these things because there is a knowledge that is yet to come to you. You know, I remember a time came and I felt so sad. And I just said, it's like I'm not sensing a certain angel or something. I can't see the way. So I said, what is going on? Then I was praying some time back. Then words kept on coming to me. It was actually a saint coming to song. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. They are all for you. They are all for you. So I woke up, I was like, I'm sorry, Lord. I should have known already that all of these things and these manifestations, they are all mine. I'm sure God was trying to draw my attention to it. It's yours. You don't need to do anything. It's already there. And that's why you find out that Paul is praying out for the church, that they receive this knowledge that God only can give. So, things that are not looking like it will. In God's word, there are things that look very natural when you God so love them. That God so love the world, when your eyes open to it. So we're looking at revelation knowledge. Now, I'm taking that to teach this because when we start to get into tongues, then you now don't say, what's labor, labor, labor? Labor. What's that? God calls that the power of God. So we're going to be looking at this. See Luke chapter 10, our first scripture. I'm going to take this very slow. I was going to take this very fast, and I sense the Lord say, are they not your congregation? Or you are going somewhere? We're taking it, we're just enjoying ourselves. Yeah. So see, Luke chapter 10, verse 24. We'll start reading from verses 21 actually. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them babes. I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. So there's a wise and prudent. Now, this wise and prudent, he hides it on them, then he gives it to babes. Let's look at wise and prudent. Is a word, sophos, kai, synagos. Wise, sophos, and kai, prudent, synagos. It's S-O-P-H-O-S. Kai, K-A-I, synagos, N-Y-N-E. T-O-S. It would help you understand that. And it's quite an interesting thing to see in Luke. The sophos there is, let me just make it simple, is the intelligent and skilled or experts. Write that. Sophos. You can write sophos, then you draw a line that explains that. So the sophos there is skilled, sorry, or expert. Yes. Skilled or expert. Then synetos is intelligent. So whatever Jesus was talking about, he's saying that which you have revealed to babes, but you have hidden them from the wise and the prudent. Yes, prudent too is sophos. So prudent skill aspect. Then synetos is intelligent. They all are almost like the same. So wise and prudent. Wise and prudent. You are hiding this thing from the wise and prudent, but you have revealed them. It's a word, apocalypsis. It means to take the veil over so that you could see through. So this wisdom God has hidden it from those who are seemingly wise in their own eyes, right? Seemingly experts or what? Skillful. And he has hidden them from the intelligent. Wow. Now, this sophos actually also, in a way, connects those times it was used for Greek philosophers. There were people who were very high-minded people, like Socrates and Aristotle and all of those people, right? So it was used for them. Then Jesus is now saying that, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent. You've hidden it from Socrates. You've hidden it from Plato. You've hidden it from all of these wise men. Some of them were political philosophers. Others were ethical philosophers. Others were scientific. They were scientific. But this kind of a wisdom, you have kept it from which people? The wise and prudent. But you have revealed them to what? Babes. Now, the word babes is nepios. N-E-P-I-O-S. and is used to communicate an attitude rather than age. Used to communicate an attitude rather than age. So, you have revealed them unto babes. You have revealed them unto babes. You have revealed them unto the people who have an attitude like children. Normally used as innocent or a pure-hearted person. So you have revealed them unto babes. You revealed them unto the innocent, the pure-hearted, the humble, the honest and genuine. Those are babes. Do you see that? Now, don't forget, the wise and prudent are people who are going to be wise in their own eyes. We know a lot, right? We have it figured out. Yes, Pastor, how many houses do you have again? He said, oh, and this son. Yes, don't argue. How many houses do you have again? Son, yeah, that's why I always tell you that this is your Bible. It doesn't really work, you know? You should learn something and do something with your life profitably. So, this wisdom is not revealed to the wise and prudent. But who has he revealed it to?
Babes.
So, we're still speaking about revelation knowledge. Remember, it's revealed. It's a knowledge that is revealed unto what?
The babes.
Babes. They are genuine in heart. They are pure in heart. You'll be amazed that many Christians really believe what they read. Yes, you'll be amazed. I'm hoping that there's nobody here like that. Because honestly, for me, it would be better if I never read. Yeah, I don't like that thing. So I'm very careful when I find myself around any man of God. That is like when you stand on the pulpit, you speak out very confidently about the word. But when you go back into your room, it's like you are trying to tell us that, you know, it doesn't really make sense like that. And there are believers who are also like that. They say, oh, we have some things that we address with God's word. Some things we don't really address with God's word. We just relax for it. Yes, you'll be amazed. You'll be very amazed. I remember a preacher came to my house. I'm not saying this to sound judgmental, I'm just using this to teach. And he came to a program in my city. And my mom always hosted prophets, and she has a lot of prophets people. So he passed by, and then my mom has a sister who likes to enjoy herself. She's fun, you know, she flows very well. They go out. So I'm sure they knew this man of God many, many times back. So she came and she said, oh, let's go out there. And the man said, yeah, let's enjoy. I said, mommy, but shut up over there. This man is said, he's coming to have a program in the city. They are advertising, and he was in my house. Yeah. He said, oh, did. I said, hey. I looked at quite nice. I said, wow. This is really amazing. This is really amazing. So I just looked at it quietly and I said, okay, glory be to God.
Glory.
Yes. He chilled himself beautifully. I said, wow. This is really serious. And you know, there are friends that they can buy you bottle, they can buy you anything, but they will not really give you money. But if you want to drink the whole well, don't buy the whole. Just enjoy yourself. Just feel free, you know. You have come, chew all the meat, chew all the things, just feel free. Like, oh, wow, then that's good. So, you You see that? Don't be like that, eh? Yes, don't be like that. So what we are receiving in our daily life will be revelation knowledge, I believe.
Amen.
So me, I want to tell you, my congregation, in advance, I will never leave God's word to listen to what you tell me.
Yes,
I just want you to know in advance. So that you don't say, Pastor is not really citing with what is going on. I will not cite. I will not cite. I just want to tell you in advance. When something happens, we believe God.
We believe God.
We trust God.
We trust God.
And we'll hold on firmly.
We'll
not be saying, oh, I think we should, there's a problem. There's something we can't do anything. I will not say that. So I just want you to know. Yes. And sometimes we also lose ground. Lose ground for God's word. Lose ground. Tell me if I say, I will not lose ground.
I will not lose ground.
God is good always.
Always.
It might not have happened in a certain way, but we trust God. We believe God. So let's not swear. We're still talking about attitude. We're still on revelation knowledge. Knowledge that is God inspired, God revealed. It's not logical. And he says, this kind of a knowledge, he has revealed it unto which people?
These.
People who have an attitude, right? You know how a child receives God's word? You read it like a child. You receive God's word like a child. You practice God's word like a child. You believe God's word like a child. You know, sometimes when you tell a child something, some of you who have grown, I'm sure you've grown amongst children, maybe you tell the child that I'll buy you a very powerful water gun. Sometimes when you go for 1 month and come back, you see that the mother will tell you that, hey, this thing you said to this child, he will not let us rest. He has said it again and again that, hey, uncle said he'll buy me water gun. Mommy, uncle will buy me water gun. And you say, yes, mommy will buy it. Uncle will buy water gun. Uncle will buy it for you. And he keeps repeating it. That's a child. He believes quickly. And unfortunately, some of us pick the word of God and we don't address the word with that childlike heart. It's like we want to make it say something that we want it to say. Say it again and again. We see how that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 to 4, reading that quickly, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as his little child is the greatest in the kingdom. So whoever will have an attitude like a child, whoever is going to receive God's word like a child, believe God's word like a child. Act on God's word like a child. Meditate on God's word like a child. Read God's word like a child. We're looking at how to access this knowledge. Because he says that to those who are supposedly wise and prudent, I'm hidden it from them all. And then I will reveal to those who are what?
Babies.
People who are children are the people I'm going to reveal my word to. They're going to have revelation knowledge. They're going to receive God's word with insight. And that word will benefit their lives. You know, they will not be far off from what they have believed. They will exemplify what they have believed. Yes, what they have believed is what they are going to exemplify. So if you are a child, you will not glory so much in your experience.
Yes.
Neither would you glory so much in your knowledge, your natural knowledge. What is the feature of a child? I want to know. The character of a child. I want to know. is teaching. That's how you read the word. That's how you listen to the word taught you. Please teach me. So when you hear the word of God now, you are already asleep.
This one is not good at all.
He's hidden it from the wise and not the wise and the prudent. And he has revealed it unto the children, the babes, those who have an attitude. I want you to pray shortly in the next 30 seconds. Lord, an attitude of a child. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. You know, sometimes we think we are smart by not taking God seriously. Or we are busy. And so we don't really have time. We don't have time for God. But that's being wise and being prudent. That's being wise and being prudent. We think we have better things to do. Oh, he has hidden it from the wise. And he has hidden it from the prudent. And that's why you see sometimes there'll be a mighty anointing on a man who has not gone to school. Mighty. He has hidden it from the wise and the prudent. Lord, a child. Pray in the next 30 seconds. We look down on God because we think we are wise and we are prudent, we are smart. No, Lord, we lay it all aside and we pick on attitudes of children. A child will wake up every morning to have their morning devotion and never tire out or weary out. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and we receive with great meekness the engrafted word of God. As the word is received with great meekness, it comes with the power to change and to transform. Lord, it's how. When you say it is done, I'll believe that it is done. When you say that it's okay, I'll say, Lord, I trust that it's okay. When I read through your word, I'll take your every written word pretty seriously in my heart. Addressing it like a child, speaking it like a child, thinking on it like a child, holding firmly onto it like a child. Lord, a childlike heart. Jesus, take your seat. So it means that when you come, you're not acting logical. Mental, sensual. You depend on the Spirit to reveal to you what God's word says in His word. You know, sometimes we act like we have genuine, wise reasons why we don't want to serve God. That's not a child. It means when you come into God's word, you put away whatever it is you are in the natural, and you receive His word with meekness. You don't say, oh, but you know, nobody can tell you what to do. You put away that, and you receive. No one time. We don't receive rebukes. The Lord told me that you have been telling me to do this. You have been giving excuses. It's when I heard that I said, please. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it right now. That's a child. respond to instructions. And sometimes the Lord tells me, I've been telling you to do this. I've been telling you. Go and do it. And sometimes you say, you are not serious. You are not. That's why I can tell you are not serious. You're not serious. You say, Lord, please have mercy. I'm going to do it. A child. A child. There's a heart of a child that you have and that you receive. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
So this knowledge is supernatural. That's why you find out that before Paul starts to teach in his letters, you see that many of the times he began with salutations and then talking about the grace of God. Then he moves out into praying for the church. And in his prayer, he bows down his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he asks and he pleads on their behalf. That church which he's writing that letter to, they will receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, this spirit of wisdom and revelation is in the knowledge of him, not in the knowledge of something else. No, not in the knowledge of some other crafts. No, in the knowledge of him. Then he says, Lord, for the church in Ephesus, I believe that's how he prayed, the eyes of their understanding, let it be flooded with light. It means that let light just appear in everything that they do. It means that these letters I'm writing out, these preachings I'm giving to them, let them receive revelation knowledge. Let there be insight into that word, insight into what is written, insight into what is said. I remember the Lord one time told me, I went to pray, and he said, today don't pray about anything. Pray about revelation knowledge. Yes. So I was on it. In fact, I think I prayed about something else because it comes in. You don't even know where it comes from. It comes in and you say, God said, I should pray revelation knowledge. Father, Kabosh. So you start praying. It looks like it's not important. But you'll be amazed of what that does to your reception in God's word. So Paul is praying and praying and praying and praying that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Your eyes are enlightened in a very supernatural way. Remember, this knowledge is not logical. It's supernatural knowledge. Knowledge that comes from God, that has this inspiration from God. Go ahead and speak in tongues. Go ahead and speak.
Let it be your head. Shut up. Repent. Will our backs be brought from sea and cloud? hearing clearly, from experiencing you clearly. In the name of Jesus, I can hear you pray. I don't like the way I pray. I must be honest. My tongue shall grab the ear, shall grab the ear. My tongue shall grab the ear, let my tongue grab the ear. My tongue shall grab the ear, grab the ear. Singing in the ear, we pull down, we pull down every stronghold and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring down false beliefs, false perceptions, false matalaba. Rentetemimo composia, ranta tegetima, kalabababa. Let the mind be open. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Ask God for this. La bragaba. He said, if you ask him, he'll give it to you. We ask for revelation knowledge. Lord, this morning, el ragabasha. La brasata la bragaba. Praying in the Holy Ghost. 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 Sekreketeleba. You will be able to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Then you will say, I will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilences that tread themselves in the noonday. For you will say, the Lord God, Kitakalama, is with me. Makalama, he stands beside me. He lives in me. Makalama, revelation knowledge, insight into God's word. Pray in the Spirit. Of your heart, you receive clarity. Allah Patapisti and Wanda Crestia, Pirota Tunda Gravitiaba, Pirota Patina, Malebra Tonaba. We lay aside, Lord, right now, we lay aside, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and we receive with great meekness the engrafted word, the ever changing word. They have a transforming word. Rabba no second in the Maya. Rantapaya. Rabataya. 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 Kakwa Kwa Nigama. Right now we lay aside. We lay aside. We lay our pride. We lay our knowledge. We lay our educational prowess. We put it aside. We receive with great meekness the engrafted word, which changes, transforms, redeems, edifies, strengthens. I ask, I the church, the men who walk in the revelation knowledge, who walk in revelation knowledge, who know God, who understand God, who please God in power. And church, that when you step in, your eyes will open. Your eyes will open. Your eyes will open. We pray this out in the name of Jesus. Fresh insight. The words will minister to you. Fresh insight. As you flip through those pages, fresh insight. Insight for your life. Insight for ministry. Insight for serving the Lord. Insight for every situation. There is insight. Fresh insight. Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray.
Because it's functional for prayer. That's why I teach and I make you pray. It's highly functional in prayer. You see, sometimes our hearts are cold. We do not bend. It's because we lack this element. We'll see that next time. We lack it, but not again.
Not again.
Take your seats. So, we're going to quickly look at how to receive like a child. We're going to do that very quickly. Number one, be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Be humble. James chapter 4,
James chapter 4, verse 6 teaches us how that God gives more grace. In this step, he gives more of his grace in revelation knowledge to those who are humble. But he resists. Do you remember Luke 10? Today we looked at just one scripture. Luke 10, right? But he hides from what? The wise and then the prudent. You know, many times disciples falter because they don't have this. And that's why you ought to pray. Because the things you are seeing, they don't really see it the way you want them to see it. And that's why we ought to pray. That's why when you see a young man burning and on fire for the Lord, sometimes you look at him and say, hey, there's something he's caught. There's a zeal. And of course, sometimes it can be without knowledge. But that in itself is a supernatural effect. So be humble, right? Because God will resist the proud. But he will continually give grace to those who have that attitude. Children. Be humble. We're going to go through some very important things. Number two, be teachable. Means that you're going to learn to ask a lot of questions with eagerness to learn, not to argue. You know, sometimes there can be some people there. They intelligently ask questions to argue. It's like they're trying to tell you, you're not really smart, you know. So you're asking to argue. It's like you want to argue, but you don't know how to argue, so you're asking to argue. So you don't ask to argue, you ask to know. I remember sometimes someone was asking a question, and then I sensed in my heart the person was asking to argue. So you don't ask to argue. You ask to know. You know, sometimes you can even ask a question. Yeah? It's like you are asking a question because you think it's supposed to be this way, but you want to draw the person's attention to it, that the person is missing out on this. No, that's not how to ask questions. And those subtle ways of asking questions is not to the one that wants to know. He seeks to draw your attention to something that he thinks you are missing. And I've met people like that. They want to tell you, I'm missing this, so we want to draw your attention. And I make them know that I'm not missing it. Do you understand? So don't ask questions to draw somebody's attention that you are missing this. That's not how to ask questions. Ask questions because you want to really know. You want to really understand. You're also not asking to argue. Right? You ask because you want to know. You want to understand, why is this so? Why is this happening? Pastor, you said this, please, can you say it again? Can you teach it again? Sometimes some questions are sarcastic. They ask to make fun of whatever it is that you are saying. Like, so are you trying to say it? No. That's not going to be in charge. Remember, we're building up, and like I said, since you're not going anywhere, you're going to have this mind, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have this mind of asking to know, right? Or sometimes also they ask questions to rob knowledge. It's like they try to rob knowledge. They rob. It's like we're trying to rob shoulders in knowledge. No, don't do that. In fact, I was something that before, but now I'm not like that. Before, you had to get me to say anything, whether good or bad. And to ask any question, whether good or bad, you will not get me asking. I'll just be looking at you quietly like this. And I agree to everything you say. Or I disagree to everything you say. Right? But no, that's not going to be teachable. That's somebody who doesn't really care. Like, they are okay with anything you want. No. You ask questions. Do you see me? So you're going to learn to ask the right questions, right? Because you genuinely want to know. Not that you want to teach. When you go before God's word, you ask questions because you genuinely want to understand what you are reading. Not because you want to superimpose what you are saying. And many times, asking the right questions are functional of listening rightly. Because when you listen rightly, you will not ask some questions. Because sometimes somebody asks a question, and then it's like, everybody gets to know that, oh, but this thing was already said. But you are asking the same thing. So it means that the reason why you are doing that is because you are not listening. So you listen rightly, and then you learn to ask God questions. You learn to ask God's word questions. As you read it, it stays on your mind. You ponder around it. That's asking the right questions. Not that God, you see, last time you did it like this in Genesis. Now it's different. So God has faltered. So your heart indicts on the matter. It thinks in humility to find an answer. And if there's anything I've realized about God, if you ask Him, He will tell you. Yes. Sometimes when I need insight into a matter, maybe something is happening, then I say, Lord, show me, what do I do about this issue? Sometimes I'm just reading, and then I stumble on it. So I'm just there, thinking, and then it comes to me. And I do that when I, sometimes I can sit down and then a scene just plays before me. And then it says, this is what it meant. 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 And I'm like, Lord, I didn't see it like that. It says, now I'm showing that to you. So ask the right questions. Right? It's to be childlike. When you come to church, don't have questions in your mind arguing with the one that is teaching you whatever it is that's being taught you. You know, sometimes you can be sitting and then you have arguments in your mind about what is being taught you. It's like you don't think it should be so. And you think what is said is not, does not really make a lot of sense. That's not an attitude like a child. A child has an attitude to be teachable, right? Thirdly, receive with joy. How do you go about your morning devotions? The teaching of God's word from the pastor? Do you feel like it's too much? Again? Again? Hey. Again? I know I'm answering some of those. One thing he has said is that we have heard. Again. No, that's not the attitude of a child. You receive with joy.
Receive with joy. Glory.
Like your heart bubbles up.
Oh, yes.
Why does he keep repeating this particular thing again? It's because of you. You don't think so, eh? The fact that you say, why does he keep repeating this? It's because of you. So you're going to receive God's word with joy. As you read God's word with joy. Oh, joy. With joy. With joy. With
joy.
With joy.
With joy. With
joy. You know, sometimes when I'm teaching and you look at somebody's face, you say, no, I'm not this one. It will kill the revelation. Let me look at that one instead. Because the face is like the person saying, what is the time, you know? We've been in service all this while. And I mean, what kind of a service is this? Like that, the way you are laughing. He's laughing. It's like this guy is prophesying. So with joy, with great excitement, that's how you receive God's word. Not with murmurings. That church where you go, they teach the word of God. You'll be sitting down, son. Hours upon hours. With joy.
Joy.
You know, he says, thy word have become my delight. It means that it makes my heart bubble for joy. It's something I want to hear and hear again. Even if it means you are repeating the same thing, I want to hear it. Joy. So those who are with joy, you see them, they are smiling, they are looking into your eyes, and you can see right through their hearts. Like, wow, God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. I'm being blessed.
I'm being blessed.
And you see another person is like this. I've turned like 2 minutes and I look again. I'm like, no, this person, we have to advise ourselves. With joy.
With joy.
Next one. Obey simply. Take him at his word. Just obey. So he tells us, just trust me. And be obedient. So when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory. Oh, we're going to sing it together. What a glory. When we take God's word in the morning, it's our delight. We read it and we think of it. You know, yesterday I was praying and I was just reading a song. And I said, wow, God's word is beautiful. So he tells you to trust and just be obedient. There's no other way to be full of joy and happiness. Only just trust and obey simply. He says, fear not, I'll be with you. He said, God, I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
That's it. It's not difficult.
It's not difficult.
It's not difficult. When we walk with the Lord,
when we walk with the Lord,
in the light
of
I Seem like a child.